Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. Well, I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster, and I'll be your host. Joining with me today in studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello. How you doing today?
How you doing, Pat?
Doing good.
Very good. Well, I'm excited. Oh, my goodness. I want to give a couple of shout-outs today. I want to give a shout-out to Joanne. It was great talking to you. Pat, she is sharing VFN Radio with all of her patients in New York Presbyterian Hospital. And she has VFN Radio playing live. So hello to everyone in the nurses' station.
Hello, Joanne.
In New York Presbyterian, you guys are doing an amazing, amazing job. Say hello to Dr. Oz for us, too. Also want to give a shout out to Pastor Debbie. Oh my goodness, holding it down in Patterson, Kichara and James. Oh my goodness. Man, you were lucky to go out there and visit with them.
Oh yeah, that's pretty beautiful. Oh yeah, they're great, awesome family.
That's awesome what their work that they got going on out there in Texas. It's so awesome.
Oh yeah.
And VFN Bronx. I want to give a special shout out to Justin. Dude, that was amazing. What happened Sunday? I heard all about it. Welcome to the family of God.
Awesome.
Man, God's just doing just so many amazing things. It's so hard to keep up with it all.
Right.
So how you been, man?
Doing good. Loving this cooler weather.
Oh, I know. It is getting cooler, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I think it's waking up in like the 50s in the morning here lately.
Oh, man, well, it's getting a little bit colder here, a little more colder in the 50s, but I can appreciate wearing a jacket and,
Yeah, I'm not broken out the jacket yet, nope, by any means.
Oh, yeah.
Or the pants.
Definitely got the hoodie going on. Because it is getting cold. Well, I wanted to share with you, Pat, you know, the last time I left out there, the Gulf Coast, and I was there not too long ago, I had a pretty interesting situation, you might say. Yeah, a little bit. You know, we left and boarded the plane to head on mm-hmm. back to Jersey.
Right.
Now, mind you, if you're listening today, you know, I was in the studio that Monday, did the radio program Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
and shortly after that, boarded the plane to head back to New Jersey via Miami. Yeah, so we
a little backwards, wasn't it?
A little backwards. Had to fly all the way down to Miami,
mm-hmm.
and the first flight was not bad. You know, not bad. I think we were flying. I think it was American, which, by the way, I have to give a little plug to American. I've had, you know, flown on several
mm-hmm.
companies before, and they were pretty good. They weren't bad at all. So. Yeah, it's grueling. Got the family. You know, my 2-year-old daughter is making the trek here with us,
mm-hmm.
and she wants to be picked up all the time walking through these airports. It's very challenging. So we get to Miami, we board the plane, get everyone on there, and all of a sudden this plane is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, we're waiting, and it never fails. Every time I leave Florida, last time I left Florida,
all right.
I think it was in the wintertime or something on a plane. In Atlanta, the plane was freezing over, so I had to wait for them to defrost the plane.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah, that was a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to leave, and the pilot gets on air and says, "Well, you know, we were experiencing difficulty with the plane. There's a part that needs to be replaced."
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, great.
Are they going to do that before you get on the plane?
Exactly. You're going to fix the plane here while we wait.
Right.
So, you know, it's 30 minutes, turns to an hour, turns, you know, to now an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
So finally they say, well, you know, you can deboard the plane and you can wait, you know.
All right.
So it says, if you get off, though, you got to stay off until we board again. Can't, you know, come back and forth. So
all right.
Half the plane starts getting up. I'm getting out of there. I'm getting claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. Okay, need some air. So once we start moving, he says, okay, everyone has to get off the plane. So he takes everyone off the plane.
Right.
We sit down. Mm-hmm. I find a charger for my phone that's about to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we sit down, right over the intercom, okay, we're going to be boarding back again. So we board the plane again.
Right.
And we're getting on the plane, and I'm noticing as I'm sitting there. Now, mind you, I'm just exhausted at this point.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is wired on Coca-Cola. I don't know who gave her Coca-Cola.
What time was this?
Oh, my goodness. By this time, I'm supposed to arrive like at midnight, and it has to be like almost midnight at this time. Like it's like 11 o'clock or something.
Oh, wow.
And someone gave her Coke in Miami while we were eating this awesome Cuban sandwich place, by the way, which is very good in the airport.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, very, very, very good. So she's wired. Dude, she is like screaming. She is climbing on. And this is like not like I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm like my face is melting into my pockets. You know, it's like she is standing on
not
the chair.
My, come on.
She's talking to people. Like, oh, great. So I'm kind of delirious sitting out there, passed out, exhausted, watching Maya just terrorize the whole place. And, sit down, please. Please sit down. So I noticed that there's this lady a few chairs ahead. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Because, you know, when you get on a plane these days, you know, I notice that people are looking at me and I'm looking at people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay. They're eyeballing everybody. Hey, it's almost like that look like, don't you try nothing funny up in here. Mm-hmm. Don't you try nothing funny up in here. So I'm noticing this woman, she's kind of short lady. She has this long, kind of curly, bushy hair, mm-hmm. and red hair, and it's over her face, and she has these little glasses, and she keeps getting up, and she keeps talking to the steward.
Yeah.
It's this huge male steward guy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just watching this unfold, and she just, I mean, like, it seems like every 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
she's getting up. And I can see that the steward's getting a little annoyed at this point. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, this has been a long drama here. We're trying to get off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, the plane starts to start moving.
Yeah.
This lady who's been getting up, I mean, I kid you, like everyone around is looking like, why is she getting up? What's happening here? You know, mm-hmm. she gets up to say something to the steward, and the steward literally almost chases her back in the chair. She goes, sit. Down. I mean, the whole place almost erupted. It was just like,
oh my goodness,
a sigh of just so much tension. So she started laughing. This poor woman.
Are you serious?
Poor thing. He starts to chew her. He says, "I don't have any vouchers. I told you, I don't have any vouchers."
Oh my gosh!
I guess she was wearing him out for a voucher because of the delay.
Oh,
but
no.
She got it. Earful. I mean, note to self. Listen, if you're flying on the airlines, don't harass the steward or the stewardess because they're going to tell on you. They're going to tell on you. But, man, she was wearing him out, and he goes, sit down. I'm thought, oh, no, she's going to get a spank. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be bad. And you didn't hear people to her the whole time. She sat down and she didn't get up again. You know, you cause a disturbance on that plane, you know, they can escort you right on out and mm-hmm. put you to another confined space. You know what I mean? So we finally arrived at Jersey at 4 a.m. Actually, at 3:30, I went to bed at 4.
Mm.
So nightmarish, wow. But we made it. But the next day when I looked at the news and realized that there were other American Airlines seats that were unscrewed to the plane, I thought, well, you know, this is not bad. You know, this
oh, that
is,
was
this
the same bad. Airline? Oh, no.
Same day.
Oh, no.
But, you know, and God's news behind it is, I don't know if you saw this. And maybe some of our VFN radio listeners today have saw this. But, yeah, did you hear about this guy, Felix Baumgartner?
The name sounds familiar.
Well, if his name doesn't sound familiar, probably what he did, probably really you'll remember him. This is the guy that most recently jumped out of a capsule.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, he almost went, like, basically to
so what is a capsule?
Say it again?
What's a capsule?
It's this, I don't know, it's like a space capsule. Mm-hmm. But it was attached to like an air balloon.
Right. I think it was a helium balloon, right?
A helium balloon. This was absolutely amazing. I'm going to see if we're going to play a clip over the air, and I'm going to try to say a couple things. Just listen to this. It's going up. So the balloon is filling up.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this capsule's going, you know, higher and higher and higher. This guy climbs into this. He's got a spacesuit. Now, he's been jumping off of things for a long time.
Right.
Okay? So he's going up.
It's still climbing, and it'll start be moving here in a little bit.
So they're actually lifting it up with a crane. Okay?
Right, right.
To sound a little bit better for you, but it's being lifted up on a crane, and all of a sudden you see this capsule, you know, going higher and higher and higher,
mm-hmm.
and higher. He finally gets up to 128,000 feet.
Wow.
Dude, this is huge. Okay. And so he is about to jump. They said he was at the very edge of space.
Mm-hmm.
So this video we're going to make available for you on the Torch. He's in this capsule. Looks like it has like some computer, you know, electronic data. I don't know what in the world, what it's measuring, but it's measuring something. And he's sitting inside this capsule, and then he opens the hatch,
mm-hmm.
and his view. I mean, he's literally looking at the Earth. I mean, yeah. You can see this in the video. He's looking at mm-hmm. the Earth, and it's the most amazing, amazing view. You would think he's in space, and my understanding is that he's literally at the edge between, you know.
Yeah, I think they call it, like, the stratosphere. He's, like, 20-something miles above the Earth.
Can you believe that? See? And you see this picture. Now, I'm thinking, you know, he fall, you know, I'm thinking, you better make sure you jump out of this thing. I mean, there is no way to come back down unless you jump.
Right.
It's up 128,000 feet, and all you see is Earth. I mean, like, you see some blue stuff, some brown stuff, but you don't know, you know, if you're going to land in another country, if you're going to hit a building, and there's no other way to get down.
Yeah, how do you aim that, right?
Exactly. I'm going to fall there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to think about it. You see people jumping off of bungee stuff, and you see people get up and they go, oh, never mind. I'm going to go back down. You know, all these mm-hmm. cliff divers. I don't have the nerve to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he went up on his capsule. There is no backing down. How do you get down 128,000 feet from space when you were drug up there? I mean, that's one way to make sure you're going to jump. So he jumps. He goes 833 miles an hour.
Wow.
In 4 minutes, dude. 4 minutes. And he just comes just flying down. He's the first human to break the sound barrier.
So did he like bounce? What happened?
Dude, he comes all the way down. It was a perfect landing on his feet.
Right. How did that happen?
Well, he opened.
Do you have like an airplane strapped on his back? I mean, how did he come down?
No, he jumps out, and he has his parachute.
Oh, a parachute. Okay.
Yeah, he has his parachute, and it takes. He doesn't fly down on his own. Well, he kicks the parachute, and you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, you better hope this thing works." You know what I'm saying?
Right, no doubt.
And his parachute, he's just flying. Straight out. I just thought it was absolutely remarkable. You think, wow, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he lands on his feet, and it was successful. And it reminds me of another time that we jumped, which I'm gonna talk about here in a minute, but I'm thinking about the perspective when you're looking. It's just one astonishing picture when you see him and he opens up this latch to this capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing on the edge of it. They did such an amazing job making sure that they captured video from all the way around. You got to capture video on this thing. And it worked, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's looking at the face of the earth. And he's getting ready to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh my gosh, I mean, you got some people getting, I don't know if I could do a bungee jump. You know what I mean?
Right.
Much less jumping out of, almost out of space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at perspective. You know, I think about God's perspective, and I think about how God is always, always looking at us. You know, I think sometimes that we fail to recognize this perspective. We fail to recognize that, you know, we get caught up sometimes in our everyday grind and you go to work, take care of the kids get off to school and you're just doing life and doing everything. And you're living just within this maze, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you wonder, like, you're tempted to wonder, you know, does God see what's happening? Does God know what's going on? You know, I want to encourage you today that if you're going through something today, if you're going through some struggles, it's amazing how you could be going through the darkest times in your life, or you could be going through some challenging moments, and yet because you've learned how to say the right things, nod the right way, give the pleasant, you know, the pleasantries. Yes, yes, everything's great, everything's good. Change the story, you know, the topic to who won the game last night. Meanwhile, on the inside, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder how everyone can talk about all this frivolous stuff that's going on. In the meantime, you're facing a challenge in your life. You're facing something in your finances, in your employment. You're facing a family struggle. You're facing a crisis in your health. And yet life is going on as usual. Life is, and it's like there's no perspective. There's no grid. And people don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're tempted to wonder, does God even see? Does God even see? You know, and the great thing about God, he doesn't have a bird's eye view, Pat. Mm-mm, mm-mm. He has a heaven's eye view. You know what I'm saying? He has a heaven's eye view, and he sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time.
Mm.
God sees everything all at the same time. I mean, he even knows the very hairs of your head. They're all numbered by God. And he sees everything. And so your eyes haven't escaped. And the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. His eyes are searching. He is aware. He is concerned. He knows about the very thing that you're going through in your life. He knows about your struggles. He knows about your joys. He knows about your pain. And he desires to have an intimate relationship with you. I'm looking forward to our discussion here today on VFN Radio, because we're here to educate. We're here to illuminate through God's word and to inspire you and to activate you, but also to bring you hope. Let me tell you today that Jesus Christ loves you. You know, Pat, when I was coming to Jesus, that was the most consoling thing. I said, man, mm-hmm. the world may love me, but at least Jesus loves me.
That's right.
Yeah. If I said it once, I said it 1,000 times. I'm not at a place in my life where I can turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I just can't. You know what I mean?
I know, that's right.
And he loves you. He loves you. And the Word of God says that he is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. There's no place that you can go. There's no situation you can find yourself. There's no trouble. There's nothing that you could have done that God will turn away his gaze from you.
Mm.
That is so reassuring. Because let me tell you, man will forget about you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're flawed.
Mm-hmm.
They are flawed, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
We are flawed.
Yeah, some more than others.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the chiefest of flawed.
Yeah, exactly. So, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. Sometimes we just need perspective. You know, sometimes when your back is against the wall and you can't turn to the right and you can't turn to the left and you can't turn to the things that you've been turning to before in the past, because the credit card is maxed out, because this person can't help you, and because these resources are all depleted, and this person is left, so you can't turn to the right or to the left, and your back is against the wall. You can't move any further back. You couldn't push back those bills anymore. I mean, they are due. you can look up.
Right.
And when you look up, don't be surprised to see eyes looking back at you. You know, because God's looking. He is concerned. He's just wanting to get our attention. He's wanting us to make eye contact, if you will. He's wanting us to recognize that, you know what? He's there for us. He's there for us. And one of the biggest things that we can do that causes us to forget that is to get so self-absorbed and become so narcissistic and so, you know, focused just on what's going on in our life and woe is me, that we forget that God is present. God is there. God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble, and he just wants us to reach out to him. His arm is not too short, and his ear is not too dull. And let me tell you, he has perfect vision.
Mm.
All you need is perspective. He sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. He's just waiting for you to look back at him. We'll be right back.
You know, it's so important, Pat, to you know, you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, you know, when you want to know the way of God. You right. want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength,
right.
and love our neighbor as ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Great Commission is to lead other people to love God,
right.
which
right.
is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You know, that is so important that you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called, and you want to go into the Great Commission, and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by his spirit to be able to go out and be witnesses for him.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, man, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up, for the harvest field. You want to, you know, maybe you're called to do, for a church plant, that there's something inside of you. You've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like, Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio and Steve Hill, that the hope for, turning a country around or a nation around or America around is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man. They have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about, you know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up! You know? Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe, and you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VF at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
that's very cool. Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. I just want to say this before we go in this first hour. You know, I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, what is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive. They went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things, because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have the 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome. Hey, well, you know, we were just talking about the jump from almost near out of space. And I thought, oh, my goodness, gosh, if you didn't listen to that, you need to get God's perspective on how he sees you, how his eyes are upon you, and what his perspective is from heaven. It was so, so good and so amazing.
Yeah,
but, you know, Pat, I was thinking about, you know, this whole jumping thing. It still has got me a little bit, you know, a little shaky here in my boots here. Do you remember the time? Remember the time that we went down the river, and we saw a tree? And for some reason, I don't know whose idea that was. Maybe it was Chris.
I don't know
whose idea that was.
It wasn't my idea. I was just there.
We're floating down this river, this lazy, dirty river, in a nice raft, and we see this tree. That's half broken. This is a monstrous tree now. It's pretty huge.
Right.
And it was broken, not completely, but it was broken. Mm-hmm. And it was broken in a way that you could actually climb and walk up the tree. Mm-hmm. And we started seeing that people were jumping off of this tree. Mm-hmm. Now, when I saw it, I thought, that sounds pretty.
Wasn't there a rope?
Well, on one side, there was a rope for another kind of tree, but on this particular tree, they were side by side. This particular tree.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember, people were walking up this tree, which I look back and think, what? See, this was many, many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Many, many, many years ago. But wisdom would have been good at this moment. Wisdom would have been good.
Yeah.
But you're walking barefooted up this tree. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty big tree now. It's like it's really huge, but but still, we're walking on this tree when we're seeing these people jump from this tree, and thinking, "Oh, that looks too cool." Mm-hmm. And this part of the river, I guess, was deep, so they weren't hitting bottom yet, but they were just jumping.
Yeah,
and I don't know who was the first one to run up there. I think it was Chris.
I believe it was me.
So we went up there and. We're climbing up this tree, and I'm noticing we're getting higher and higher. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, this ain't good. This is not good. That'd be about 20 feet.
At least. 25 feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think 20 feet's not that high. I'm thinking about this guy jumping out of 128,000 feet.
Yeah. Looking up, it doesn't look high. Looking down.
Oh, my
different
goodness.
Different story.
And you're falling into water. It's not like you can't really like hurt yourself, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
No, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah. I remember when I jumped out, I was looking at the water.
You went face first?
And I did a face plant.
Oh,
my gosh. Well, needless to say, I think we all survived it. But there was a point there where you're thinking, you can't walk down from here. You got to jump. You got to jump. Mm-hmm. And I think, Chris, I think you even have a picture of me jumping. I have to get that picture from you again. But it was amazing how we just jumped off of there. It was like, here it is. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, faith is a lot of times just like that, you know, where, you know, fear is the opposite of faith. Mm-hmm. And it'll try to creep up on you. And even though you've seen someone else do it, you know, you can't operate off of someone else's faith.
Right.
You know, you have been given a measure of faith. Each one of us, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given a measure of faith. And you can't ride off of someone else's faith. I mean, when I was up there, I had to decide, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't use someone else's faith. I had to decide whether I was going to challenge this fear that was creeping. Uh-oh, this is not going to be good. You know, I remember falling. You ever like fallen in a dream? Because I've never fallen like this before, but just like you feel like you're never going to land. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, well. This is how it felt like when I was like, oh my goodness, when am I going to land? I'm not going to hit. Mm-hmm. This is what it felt like. It's just like your heart and you just get fluttered like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. But that's what it's like when you're stepping out and you're stepping out and you're trusting God. You know, you've got to move in faith. You can't move in fear. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with that fear because fear will always try to come against the very thing that God's called you to do. Try to sow doubt in you or try to get you to look at what ifs, you know, what ifs are really bad, you know, what if this and what if that and what if this and what if that? It's like, what about God?
Mm-hmm.
What about God? If you focus on fear, you'll never jump.
Right.
But if you focus on your faith and if you focus on your vision and you focus on what God's called you to do and you focus on what God's word says, you're not jumping blindly. You're jumping on the solid rock. You're jumping on what is true, what is right. And that's God, his word. He's dependable. He's faithful. So I want to encourage you that no matter what you're looking at, you're facing, you know, it's okay to trust God. It's okay to believe God. It's okay to exercise your faith because faith must be exercised.
Mm-hmm.
It must be exercised. It must be employed. It must be activated. And let me tell you, when you do that, you're going to see incredible things happen. You know, what did John G. Lake say? He says, you know, God calls you to do something, step out in bold faith, and he'll meet you every time.
That's right.
This is a man that was used mightily by God in all kinds of healings and all kinds of stuff. There are many, many years of faithful ministry, but we can trust him. He's dependable. He's just so dependable. Well, I'm so excited. We got so many things to be talking about. It's still in the first hour and, of course, in the extra hour. I want to encourage you to visit the Torch. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. There's so many updates and highlights. And you have the chance and the opportunity to subscribe to the VFN Torch newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just so much more that you're going to get a chance to receive. And it'll bring great encouragement, not only to you, but to those that you'll be able to share. You know, I want to share this morning, you know, we have the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Great Commission. Help me out here.
Yes, yes.
And this is a charge that the Lord's given us. This is the charge that the Lord's given us. And he says in Matthew 28:18-20, this is the Great Commission. This is our charge, our duty as believers. And as Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age.
Mm.
And this is Jesus' last words.
Right.
And you know, for us right now, it has and always will be about Jesus and his kingdom. It's about advancing the kingdom on the face of the earth, the king and his kingdom. And it's interesting that Jesus says right from the beginning, I am in charge here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All authority has been given to me. Let me tell you something. God is still on the throne, okay? And Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. I am in charge. Therefore, as a result of this, my disciples, my church, go ahead and go.
Mm-hmm.
Go. And he says, make disciples. You know, it's interesting that he says make disciples, because sometimes, you know, the church at large sometimes has gotten caught up in sometimes just converts, someone that just prays a prayer. But God said, go make disciples. Trained ones, learned ones, followers. Then he says to baptize them and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And there's a process. I mean, God wants us to think about it. We have the greatest message in the world. And the last thing he says, listen, don't forget, don't forget this.
Right.
I'm with you and I'm for you.
Right.
And we have the greatest message in the world. I mean, we have an awesome and amazing job to do for our great King. And it's a labor of love. It's a labor of great importance. And it's always timely. Listen, we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Right. Bible says in the twinkling of an eye. But as long as we still have breath, as long as we're still alive, as still as we're able to praise the Lord, then we need to be about the Father's business.
That's right.
I mean, you look at everything that's going on in the nation, and the nation's in transition, and you have, you know, people affected by storms. You have people affected by financial storms. You have people that are losing their homes. You know, the only source of true encouragement, the only source of true life in this life and the life to come is having a personal relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Why is this so important? Because you know what? At the end of the day, nothing else matters.
That's right. Nothing else.
I mean, we need a relationship with God, and He desires a relationship with us. And so He's equipped us for this charge. He's not left us alone, but He's equipped us, He's prepared us, and He tells us in His Word, in John 14, He tells us, listen, John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will obey me, obey what I command. And I will ask that the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, and He lives with you and will be in you. I mean, He's given us the precious Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth.
Hmm.
In verse 25, it says, all this I have spoken to you while still with you. But the counselor, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? Whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We have help. We have a partner.
That's right.
Right? We have help in sharing and preaching the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's the Holy Spirit. He'll lead us in truth. He'll guide us in truth. He will equip us with everything that we need to make Jesus known.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, you know, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will, what? Convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. But when the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. It's time. I mean, this is the church's finest hour.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people right now that are hungry for God. You know, when we did that outreach, it was so refreshing. Mm-hmm. We did our outreach in last weekend for Hurricane Sandy and relief, and we're out there ministering, and just you could see in the people's eyes, you can hear it in their voices, you could hear it in their demeanor. Let me tell you, people are searching for God these days like never before. Everything that they've put their trust in, their jobs, their relationships, their own selves, what man can do in their own strength, has all come down, and they're saying, listen, God, I need to turn my heart back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way. You know, Jesus tells the disciples, and I love this in Mark 16:20. He says, listen, this is what happens with the disciples. The disciples went out and they preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word with signs that accompanied it. I'm gonna read that again. They preached everywhere and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. God will be with us. God, the same way God was with the disciples and he confirmed his word with signs and wonders, let me tell you something. He is going to be with you.
That's right.
You know, oftentimes, you know, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but oftentimes I think that sometimes people can say, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to share? You know, or, you know, it's like, I've never done this before. Yeah, you can.
You can. Can you remember the first time you shared the gospel with someone?
Yeah.
Let's not talk about
that. Yeah, let's move on.
Was that with Chris? Was that how did that go? How?
Wasn't real smooth, I don't think.
Well, Chris, you made it. You made it.
Somehow you made it in, despite me.
It was a seed. It was still a seed.
It was a seed.
It was still a seed.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, sometimes we get so full of zeal. Yeah. And like, I know what their problem is. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
it's the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love of God. I remember when I did an intern. I was a chaplain intern in Louisiana Medical Center in Shreveport, Louisiana. And as a chaplain, I had the great opportunity. I actually lived in the hospital, guys. I lived right underneath the psychiatric ward.
Mm.
And I, like, 24 hours, 7 days, that's where I was. And so it was kind of an intense type of setting, because anytime someone was coded, or when they would call the doctors in,
mm-hmm.
then I would go down with them.
Right.
And so I had complete access to the emergency room, all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the chance throughout the day, my job, which I loved, was just to go up and down and visit with patients, mm-hmm. minister to them. Mm-hmm. In the state of Louisiana, they encourage the chaplains to actually pray for the patients.
Wow.
That's what they exactly want you to do, because get this. Uh-huh. Their research says that patients do this whole lot better in surgery once they've received prayer.
Oh, wow. Check that out.
You think? I think there's something to that. So after I would pray, I would actually notate that in their records,
mm-hmm.
in their medical records. I'd notate that prayed with Mrs. Jones.
Oh, wow. Spent time.
You know, she seemed to be in great spirits after we left. Stuff like that.
How cool is that?
Yeah, very, very cool.
Wow.
And I've had to sit next to many, many people's, you know, sick bed and deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's so sobering when someone sits with you one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when away from a crowd and away from everything else. It's amazing when someone's one-on-one, and the other kind of a different situation is when they've experienced some sort of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that may be, when they're not in their normal state. It's amazing how sobering life circumstances can be, how sickness could be, or death of a loved one, or a bad situation. It's amazing how sobering, and how our lens begins to get proper perspective, and people begin to start thinking about the things that really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like it to be in the hospital to really start thinking about, okay, how much longer do I have, and where am I going to go, and
mm-hmm.
It would never fail. It would never fail. Every single time that I would to speak and just share and just minister,
mm-hmm.
and it's just share on the love of God.
Right.
His hearts would melt. And even you would think the most hardened person, oh no, maybe not, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that when you get down to the truth of it, I believe that everyone wants God, they just don't know it yet.
Right, exactly.
You know, even those that maybe just seem to, let me tell you something. If we don't go out, just like Jesus sent his, the miracles are out in the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
The miracles are out in the highways and the byways and the streets and our neighbors. Mm-hmm. That's where the miracle is at.
All right.
And to much is given, much is required. You know, and it's almost like, you know, the church at large has been hearing this gospel message. Mm-hmm. They've been hearing others like myself and so many of others, and Greg and, you know, countless others sharing mm-hmm. about being in the harvest, and it almost seems to just kind of go over. Just seems kind of wax over.
All right.
And it's like, certainly they're not talking to me. Right. They're talking to the angels or something.
Yeah, right.
I'm in the music ministry, or I'm in this
yeah.
ministry.
Like, yeah.
No, we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I mean, we got to go back to where is our heart of passion and our love of compassion for God. There's nothing like intimacy. Lord has just been speaking so much to me about just intimacy and spending time with him and more, and really understanding the heartbeat of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get close to somebody, they begin to share with you the deepest concerns,
mm-hmm.
maybe their deepest secrets, maybe the things that really right. matter most. You don't go up to a stranger and say, hey, let me tell you what's going on with my kids. They're, you know.
Yeah, right, no.
That marriage situation I'm having, you know, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. But when there's a level of intimacy and closeness and consistency in relationship, people begin to start sharing the things that begin to matter most. And what happens is there's just sorts of a connection that begins to happen. Mm-hmm. And when we get close to God, when we lay on his chest like John did, when we get mm-hmm. close to his heartbeat, mm-hmm. he begins to share with us. It's really hard. And you know, I'm challenged, and maybe we're challenged here today to think about oftentimes when we pray, are we just praying for what God can do for me, what God can do for my household, what God can do
right.
for my family? Have we ever paused to think that God has a need?
Right.
Have we ever paused to think that God, the creator, the manager of the universe, God who sits on the throne in Revelation 4 with emerald circled and throne, the sea of glass, the peals of lightning, thunders, the mm. four living creatures, mm. the 24 elders. The living creatures go, holy, holy, holy. God mm-hmm. who created the world in 7 days, 6 days and rested in, right. you know, who gave breath to man. Mm-hmm. God. That created the universe. I mean, you want a perspective on how amazing God is and how huge he is? Mm-hmm. We just know of a couple galaxies. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, yeah. when you think about the planets and the stars, to think that there are other planets besides Earth, mm-hmm. and there's other galaxies out there, that alone will make you just go, you know?
That's wild.
And I'm sorry, the best theory that man can come up with is this, like, bang? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bang? No, no. The hand of God, the majesty of God. But have we ever thought that God himself, the Father, has a need? And I'm talking to BFN Radio listeners. I'm talking about, you know, we're talking to the church. Mm-hmm. We're talking to those that love God. We're talking to those that have a relationship with God. You gotta spend time with the one that you love.
That's right.
I mean, how long will that relationship be there? I mean, God doesn't turn our back on us, but our ability to connect and relate with him, when we spend time abiding with God and begin to ask him what is on his heart, you'd be surprised what he tells you.
That's right.
And oftentimes when I pray and ask God that question, oftentimes he'll show me somebody else. You know, God loves you. Mm. I mean, God loves, make. I mean, really, really loves. And that word tends to mess us up because we have all different types of definitions and perceptions and ideas and experiences mm-hmm. and examples of people that said mm-hmm. they love us.
Right.
And I've said this before, you know, you can only love someone to the extent and to the proportion that you know what love is. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
If love has been, ugh, take that. Hey, what is your problem? I'm loving you. Take that. This is love.
Right.
I've even heard people say that. In our family, we have a weird way of showing love. Like that. Let's just say weird way. Let's just take the word love out of there and say weird way. Because maybe that wouldn't be love. Right. You know what I'm saying? I've heard people say that before, and they say it jokingly, but mm-hmm. it's that love for God and his love for us that makes all the difference in the world. God loves you. He is so invested in us that he gave his most precious son, his only son, to make reconciliation so that we can be in the right place. Let me mm-hmm. tell you something. It's a free gift that's offered. But unless we share the truth, unless we tell them, mm-hmm. how will they know? Mm-hmm. How will they know? And it's the amazing, I mean, God, his heart burns for other people. You'll start walking. And you start asking the God this question now, what's on your heart? You'll be in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll be in the gas line. Yeah. Maybe you'll be in a store. Maybe you'll be at work. And that same person, I remember there was a, a situation at work. You know, sometimes it's like, okay, God, not everyone here loves Jesus. You know what I'm saying? There's some spiritual activity going on here. And it's amazing how I was praying about a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Lord said, I want you to look at it with my eyes. I just felt that. Just look at that person with a new perspective. And it's amazing when you look at someone who maybe was sent to be a thorn in your side.
Right.
If you look at them with the perspective of God's eyes, it's amazing how your heart will begin to melt for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not looking at some outward stuff that's happening, because you know we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
You can't act someone. You can't expect someone to act saved if they're not saved.
That's right.
It's expectation.
Mm-hmm.
But you start looking at them with the eyes of God, you'll start to have a compassion for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, there's only two final destinations that we're all going to go.
That's right.
There's only two. Either we're going to be with God or we're not. We're going to be in hell. Heaven or hell. There is no in between.
Right.
And our you know, what determines that are decisions that we do on this side, not what on the other side.
Right.
And what determines who goes with us is who we share and who we tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I often say this, but how can we have the greatest message in the world, encounter such an amazing God, and remain silent? And remain silent. I'm telling you, I don't want to see him. I don't want to look into his eyes and say, I didn't bring anybody with me.
Right.
And listen, if you went to a football game and you had an extra ticket, I mean, you could call all night. Do you know how expensive these tickets are? You got to. If you were going to, you know, a show and a Broadway show or something, and you had you would be trying to give away those tickets.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Want these baseball, you know, box seats, you know, to go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
But I want someone to have them.
Right.
Well, get someone the greatest seat they could ever have.
That's right.
It's in heaven.
Amen.
You know? Make a couple tickets up. Tell them you have two tickets for them.
Mm-hmm.
You have a way that they can redeem those tickets in heaven.
Right.
You know, you have a way for them. Invite people to know God. We got to get past ourselves. We talked about this a couple days ago on VFN Radio about being willing to be vulnerable, be willing to be. Jesus sent the disciples out like lambs amongst wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we want to be able to totally depend upon him and upon his hand and upon the Holy Spirit, which he gives us, that's going to empower us and to lead us into all truth. We have a faithful partner. And when we go, God's going to confirm the signs and wonders. I mean, after we went to that relief and prayed and people invited God in the heart, the next day there was a sign and a wonder. They got power back on.
Amen.
It's like 6 days with no power. And the next day,
wow.
You know, I mean, listen, all kinds of things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. But you got to step out. But you got to get your ear on the one.
That's right.
And he's such a gentleman. You ever been in a relationship, or sometimes this is true with children, and children are so narcissistic, you know. They just think about themselves, and you see them, and they're always, what are you going to get me? Can I go to the store? Or what do you want? And, you know, it's always about them.
Mm-hmm.
But it never kind of dawns on them to ask a parent, hey, mom, dad, you know, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how was work? Or, you know, how, dad, I saw you lay up last night. Are you feeling okay? Are you, you know?
Yeah, we'd just fall out, wouldn't we?
I'm dying here. I'm dying. Dad's playing again. Look at him on the floor. He's playing again. Are you really sick? You know, you got all kinds of stuff coming out of your pores. You know?
Right.
We don't want to be that way with God.
Mm-mm.
You know, we want to ask him, God, what's on your heart? What is moving you today? And there's so much great need. Let me tell you something. We have the greatest hope, the greatest message.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.